Good evening, and what a pleasure it is to be in the house of the Lord, gathering together with the saints to sing praises and honoring our God, our Master and Savior. I would like to extend my gratitude again and thanks to the shepherds for allowing me to come and speak to you all this week. I would also like to extend my gratitude of thanks to all of the members here, all of you all who have taken time out of your busy schedules to prepare dinners, to take time out of your schedules to meet me for lunch, or just to spend time with me. I'm greatly, greatly appreciative of that. I am thankful for that, and I am grateful for this experience to be able to share it with you all. There was two men who were best friends, Jesse and Travis. And Jesse and Travis argued day in and day out whether or not God was black or white. And unfortunately, it's like, no, God is white. No, God is black. No, God is white. Well, if faith would have it so, they both died on the same day. And so they're in heaven and they see Abraham and they say, Abraham, you got to tell us, is God white or black? By that time, God walks by and he says, Buenos dias. That was pretty funny. It was pretty funny. We've been talking all this week about finding light in darkness. And while light we need has always been there for us, knowing how to absorb it and radiate it is the key to letting our light shine. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 13 through 14, it says, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. I want to share something with you. It was back in the days before electricity. It was a tight-fisted old farmer who was taking his hired man to task for carrying a lit lantern when he went to call on his best girl. He says, why do you do this? He exclaimed. He says, when I went to courting, I never carried one of those things. I always went in the dark. And his hired hand said, yes, you always have. And look what you got. Thank God for light. It can save us from making the same mistakes that we would only make in the darkness. When I was preparing this lesson, I remember the song, This Little Light of Mine, I'm Going to Let It Shine. And after all, that is the title of my lesson. But most of us remember seeing this in Bible class. And while searching for the lyrics, I found this great little video of this light bulb that was walking and marching down these dark streets. And as he was walking down these dark streets, everywhere it was dark, he approached, light was present. And as the video pans out, you see him walking and walking in the darkness behind him. But even as the video pans out, all you could see was the light. And what does that remind me of is it's a wonderful illustration for us as Christians who are willing to let our light shine no matter how much darkness is around us. And I think it's important for us to understand that because Jesus commands us in Matthew chapter 5 and verses 14 through 16. He says that you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. So let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So let's start with the who. Let's start with the who. So who is to let their light shine? Well, according to Scripture, the you and the your. You are the light of the world, so let your light shine before men. First, the Bible says you are the light of the world. And secondly, you are children of God who have obeyed his word. So I'm telling you that you should let your light shine. I want you to say with me, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Sometimes we look at passages like these and we just think about everyone else doing the shining. The shining is not for me, it's for you. It's for the elders to shine. It's for the deacons to shine. It's for the teachers to shine. He's not really talking about me because I get a pass, right? I'm going through times in my life and yeah, my patience aren't where it needs to be. So the light shining is not for me. But this passage of scripture is talking to those who have obeyed. It is exactly for you. It is exactly your responsibility to let your light shine so that men can glorify God, not you, but God. When the you and the your get to work, then the whole body will be doing the work of the Lord. See, when just a few do it, then we're not doing our job. When we all do it, then God gets the glory. See, when we get up and stand up for Christ and let our light shine, then we will be that city that's set on the hill. And we cannot be hidden. By show of hands, just kidding. How many of us have questions about whether or not we're letting our light shine? You can be honest with yourself. If you feel like I haven't been letting my light shine, if you're questioning the fact that you're having difficulties letting your light shine, it's been a hard run for you to let your light shine, then I think that what you need to do is figure out, how can I let my light shine? If your answer is no, then you need to do better. My dad always told me that, you know, when parents try to explain something to you, you always say, I know. You'd be like, son, I know, Dad, I know. And you know what he said to me? He said, to know is to do. And I said, you're right. So if we know better, then it's our responsibility to do better. See, most people don't know God, so they don't do what he commands. Your life will be a reflection of what you know. Your life is not a reflection of what you don't know. It's what you know, meaning that what you practice is what you become. See, if you practice sin, that's what begins to happen. You begin to practice sin. The more you practice righteousness, the more righteous you become. The last time I checked, I played basketball. The more I shot in the gym, the better I got. The more I spent time on the court, the better I got. So the more time you spend in the Word and not in the streets and not with your head glued to the television, then maybe you can know what God has to say on the matter and you can do better and you can ultimately let your light shine. We can never think, saints, that we've reached the top with so many at the bottom. See, a lot of us think that, oh, I'm at the top. Well, we ain't made it to the top because we in this together. You are my brother. You are my sister. And if you're down at the bottom, then we ain't reached the top yet. And we wonder why the church is struggling. Too many looking down. You know, I want to give you an illustration. If you think about it, when all the animals had to get in the ark, you know, there was a thing called a giraffe. You wondered how the giraffe got in the ark. I'll tell you. He took that stiff neck and was willing to bend it to get into the ark. And most of us walk around here stiff neck and we can't receive the Holy Spirit through the Word of God because we're too busy around here trying to prove that what we're not going to do. Maybe we got to be like that giraffe and just bend that neck down and get on into the Word of God and start living for Him. You know, it's an old story about a desert nomad who woke up in the middle of the night and he was feeling very hungry. And so he lit a little candle and he began to look for his dates. And he'd pick up a date and he began to eat it and he'd see there was a worm. And then he tossed it out. Then he picked up another and he saw another worm and he tossed it out. Then he picked up another and he saw a worm and he tossed it. And after a while he says, I ain't gonna have any dates left to eat. So you know what he did? He blew out the candle and hurried up and ate the dates with the worm in it. What does that say? It says this. Sometimes people prefer the darkness because in the light, certain things they don't want exposed and they act like it's not there. See, many of us are eating dates with worms in it, and we're not willing to say, you know what? I see the light. I see the worm. I see the problem. Let me change it. But instead, we'd rather turn off the light and continue to eat the thing that does not give us what we need. John 3 and verse 19 says, this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their works were evil. Why would any Christian do this? Ask yourself, like, why? I mean, if you say that you know him, if you say that you understand his love for you, if you say that you know that God loved you enough, that he sent his only begotten son, why do we do this? Well, first, I believe it's because we have forgotten who we are in Christ. Or it's simply that we don't know who we are. So either you got a problem with knowing who you are in Christ, or you have no clue who you are, period. So what you do is you try to find something that you can latch on to that makes you feel good, when ultimately the person you ought to be latching on to is Christ. He is the perfect example of what we ought to exemplify every single day of our lives. But we latch on to people. You know, I ask myself this question. I want to be like LeBron James. I want to be like Peyton Manning. I want to be like the race car drivers, Dale somebody. I'm sorry, I'm not a race car fan, but I'm trying. Dale Earnhardt. I want to be Tiger Woods. You know, the greatest feeling that I will have when my son comes to me, pulls on my coattail and says, Daddy, I want to be like Jesus the Christ. Our children ought to want to be like Christ. LeBron James ain't did nothing for you. Christ gave his life. And if I want to be like anybody, I want to be like him. You want to talk about letting your light shine? Try to be like Christ. You want to challenge yourself about your spiritual walk? Try to be like Christ. I took a survey one time, held my hand up and said, how many people, if you had an hour to change places with any Bible character in the Bible, who would it be? Not one person named Christ. You know why? Because everybody they named, they wanted to make sure that that person had an easy walk. Oh, I want to be like Joseph, because Joseph, he was cool. He did what he's supposed to do. Oh, maybe Mary, you know, Esther. You know, they was naming all these people. I said, let me be like Christ for an hour. And what would you choose? Where? On the cross. Because if I can come back after experiencing that, I will never turn back again. But you know what? You have. You've experienced that pain. You know what it's like to be without him. You know what it's like to be crucified by sin. You know what it's like to be dragged through the mud. And now you have a Savior that loved you enough to give you an opportunity to change your life. The Bible reads in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. When I talked about it, simply about knowing who you are. I believe that anybody can get wet. Anybody can be baptized. But it's until the new man and woman gets up, dry off, and start shining their light, they're only standing on the promises of God while sitting in the pews. It's time for us to get out of the pews and start letting our light shine. And 1 Peter says this, because we don't know what our identity is. He says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's exactly who you are. The last time I checked, we're not acting like we're royal priesthood. I told you, we were out here acting like we're orphans, like we don't know who our father is. You act like you don't have a home. You act like you don't have any instructions. You act like you have nothing. My father told me that's how I was acting, and I believed him. I was going from place to place, from this house, staying with this person. I stayed with Aunt Barbara. I stayed with Uncle Michael. I stayed with everybody. I was just trying to find a place called home, and home was right in the bosom of Jesus the Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 and 20, he says, or do you not know your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, For you are bought with a price. So what you need to do is glorify God in your body. See, when you know you are royalty and you are for God's own possession, you begin to act like it. I think sometimes the way we deal this like this. Tell me how much sense this makes. Would you buy a brand new suit and put it on a dirty body? That makes no sense, does it? But that's exactly what we do. We ain't clean nothing up in the inside. We put on, we act up, and it's all dirty on the inside. And that's exactly what we do. In John chapter 15, verses 15 and 16, he says something that you have to understand about yourself. He says, no longer do I call you servants. He says, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit shall abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. If I said it before, I say it again. The world has no problem letting us know who they are. They have no problem standing on their principles. They're not willing to bend. They're not willing to change. This is who we are. This is what we do. They march. They will have any type of rally. They will get together in the streets and do all of that. But when it comes to Christians, we go hide in the closet. We've been hidden in the closet for so long. And it's time for us to stand up and stand up for Jesus. They're always in front and center. Every time something goes on, it's all the time. The LGBT, and I know I've been talking about it, but homosexuality is tearing the church apart. It's tearing families apart. I'm dealing with it firsthand. And I tell you what, some guy came to me one time, and that's just no disrespect, but I have to tell the story the way it happened. He came to me, and I was talking to him about the abomination of homosexuality and being with another person that's not of the opposite sex, and I'm trying to explain it to him, and he looks at me and he says, well, I'm just going to say it like this. I was born this way. And you know what I told him? Get born again. You was born that way? Well, get born again. Get in this water and get all of that filth off of you. Get that old man out of here and let's bring out the new man, the man that you are supposed to be, the man that God designed you to be. Around here making excuses, talking about you was born that way. No, well then let's clean it. Then let's get born again. And everybody has that same thing. Whatever your issue is, whatever your problem is, whatever your struggle is, get born again. Now that we know that we are royalty and we know we ought to shine, it's time to know how to shine. First, by giving thanks in every circumstance. That's something we got to get back to. When's the last time you've been thankful for the struggle? When's the last time you said, just thank you, Lord, for being God and God alone? I said it before, he doesn't have to do anything else. He's already done enough. If you never get another raise, if you never find another mate, if you've been through some hard times, if you never get back to being the person you used to be, just know that you can lean on his everlasting arms. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, it says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I didn't make that up when I said in all circumstances. It's in the word. So if you got a problem with it, you ain't got a problem with me. You got a problem with God. Next, by not complaining or grumbling. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, it tells us to do all things without grumbling and disrupting and just being disputive. It says that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. See, we don't have room to do that. I told you we are walking advertisements for Christ. And once your advertisement is tainted, then it gives them a reason to blaspheme against God. It gives them the reason to continue to do what they always have done. Well, I don't want to go to church because all they do over there is argue. All the preacher wants is money. And then when they come in, you're in here bickering. You're in here arguing. And you're not letting your light shine so that God can get the glory. And so all they see is nothing different than what they see in the world. So why would they ever want to come? Why would I ever want this Christianity that you talk about? Because all I ever hear is about bickering and fighting and church splitting and this and that and this and that. That's discouraging. We got to stop it. The question I need for you to ask yourself, too, when you walk in the room, are people glad that you're coming or are they glad you're leaving? You got to ask yourself that question. Is that how bad your attitude is? We have to change that. But we do that by doing something very important and very simple, by seeking the things above. You think about that. I was talking to a young man today. I was at dinner, and he said, you know, I read the word, and I find myself reading it more, and then I read it more, and then I find myself falling in love with it, and I want more, and I want more. That's the way it works. That's exactly the way it works. You know, kind of like when you go to the restaurant, and then they got the dessert section, and you eat some and you want more and more. Oh, I guess I'm the only person that like dessert at the, okay, that's fine. But you want more because it's good. It says in Colossians 3 verse 1, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. When you're seeking the things up above, you can't help but to shine. You won't have difficulty shining if all you do is keep your mind stayed on the things that are above, the promises, standing on them truly. You have no choice but to grow. But when you're seeking the things of this world, how can anyone distinguish you from anything else? How will they know the difference? If you look like the world, you talk like the world, you act like the world, but you go to the church. I'm in the church. And then next time you see them, they do-si-do-ing down there at the kitty cat corner. And then they think that they can tell somebody about the gospel, and they take you serious. And we're having struggles with this because people are sending, like I told you, their representatives without being forthcoming. The second thing that we must do is be pure as we focus on the things that are above. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, it says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Wait a minute. My mind is supposed to stay on the things that are pure, the things that are just, the things that are righteous, things that are heavenly, things that are positive. Yes. And as a result of it, when you think of these things, your light begins to shine, and not only shine, but radiate. We all have the tendencies to let our minds drift from time to time. I've done that. You know, I find it very funny when I thought about the subject title, This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to Let It Shine. There's a story about this kindergarten teacher who was walking around as her children were drawing pictures. And she saw this little girl, I mean, just intently drawing. She says, what are you drawing, little Addie? Says, I'm drawing a picture of God. And she says, little girl, nobody really knows what God looks like. And without missing a beat, Addie looked at her and says, we about to find out. If we allow our minds to think wholesome and pure things, true and honorable things, then we can manifest it outwardly. And people will be drawn to it because it's good, it's pure, it's infectious. And that's what we need to do. So are we to shine? Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Again, it says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works, not your foolishness, your good works, and they will glorify your Father who is in heaven. A week ago, If you want to talk about letting your light shine, about a week ago, I witnessed a level of letting your light shine like I've never seen before. And I know you probably know where I'm going. I was watching the news, and I saw this young man sitting on the stand. And on this stand, he is literally talking to a person who killed his brother. And he looks and he talks to her directly and says, "I forgive you. I cannot speak for my family. I can't speak for them. But I know what the word says, and I know what we're supposed to do as Christians, and I forgive you." Then he pleads with the judge, could he go down and give her a hug? You want to talk about letting your light shine? And I'm not saying it hadn't been done before. I just never seen it televised. This young man exemplified the characteristics of Christ, and he didn't miss a beat. And he wasn't apologetic about it. We have to start getting back to the unapologetic truth of God's word and don't apologize for it for nothing. You tell me that that young man can't tell somebody about the truth after what he did, or you absolutely can believe it. And now it's time for us to do the same thing. As Christians, we should not get wrapped up in getting the praise when some lost soul comes to Christ. It is God who gets the glory. I know Ryan is probably an awesome, cool, energetic guy, and he's handsome too. I mean, you know, I may give him a little competition. I mean, I ain't gonna throw myself under the bus. Right, you know. But it's not about Ryan. It's not about the great speakers you have here, the good, intelligent men who can come up here and deliver the same powerful message. It's about us understanding what God requires of us and seeing it through and doing it together. That's what it's about. We should live so that people can see from our good works the proper nature of God's love. That's what it's about. And we miss that. We think it's about us. This ain't about you. This has nothing to do with you. This has everything about you living for God. The Lord Jesus may be magnified. It says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together." I'm so tired of all this separation and foolishness. My grandmother calls it, because, you know, we were rascals. You get out of here, you rascal, you know. But she made up a word, and I am going to keep it. She has called it rascality. Isn't that a good word? Get out of here with all that rascality. It fits. But we got so much rascality going on today. We need to change it and magnify the Lord and exalt his name together. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, I'm sorry. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. I'll say this. See, letting our light shine is not just about staying in the inner circle, because we do that too. We get comfortable. We got a core group of people we like to hang around. I can't go into the city. You know, it's dangerous. You got to go. We can't be afraid to spread the gospel. We can't just share it amongst ourselves and think we're going to grow and think God is going to be glorified because of it. We got to get out of that. We got to get out of this black and white thing. We got to get out of this foolishness. We got to just say, I am going to love as Christ loved me. Every single person in this building at one point in time was out of Christ. You may have been in it for a very long time, but before you was in it, you was out of it. So therefore, we don't look down on other people because they were in the same position you once were. We have to stop that. It's so many people who are hurting. It's so many people who need to understand the love of God and how his love operates. This is why. Turn your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 33. We have to really be careful, because we've been warned if we do not speak and warn the wicked to turn away from their sinful ways, we have a responsibility. In Ezekiel 33, beginning with verse 8, the infallible word of God says, "If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his ways, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul." You know, I remember years ago watching Tina Turner's story, and it begins with the little girl singing at church, and then the louder she sang, because she was singing louder than everyone else, the lady would grab her and pull her by the ear and take her out, and then she'll come back in, and then she'll sing louder, and then she kept singing louder and louder and louder. I was thinking, as many times as she was pulled by the ear because of her singing out, she didn't do anything inherently wrong. She was just singing out. I wonder if we had the same enthusiasm to preach the gospel or teach the gospel or spread his word or show brotherly love, invite somebody to church, have a Bible study with somebody, give somebody a hug, tell them that God loves them, doing something outside of yourself that shows the love of God. I'm telling you, this place will be filled. I think if we practice over and over and over again with the love of God, I think that we will eventually conquer this fear of failure. The question I want to ask you this evening, though, is, are you letting your light shine? Are you truly letting your light shine? If you, one person, walked in the room full of sin, would you be the one person that can change the demographic, the whole situation of that room? Or would you just fit right in and do what everybody else is doing? I want to challenge you all this week. I've been challenged. Every lesson that I've prepared and put together was for me. You just so happened to be here when I was talking to myself. It's true. I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking to me. And I'm telling you, it is time for us to get out of the pews and get out into the neighborhoods, in our communities, get into schools, talk to our neighbors. Some of us don't even know our neighbors. And I know we live in a crazy world. But if you're doing what you're supposed to do, it don't matter no way. Right? It don't matter no way if you're doing what you're supposed to do, because you know where you're going. If you're here and you are a Christian, and you haven't been letting your light shine, it's time. It's time to come out from among them. It's time to let your light shine. It's time to radiate it and show people the love of God. And if you're not a Christian, I'm telling you, you're missing out. You can talk about all types of memberships. They got gym memberships. They got golf memberships. They got all types of membership. But there is no membership and fellowship like that of being in Christ. You got all the benefits. I'm telling you, you want to be a VIP member? Get into Christ. There is no membership that can offer you what he can offer you. Nothing. And so I'm pleading with you today. This is your opportunity. There's no time better than the present. So if you are a person that is willing to be man enough and woman enough to challenge yourself to let your light shine, please do so as together we stand and sing.